Welcome to The Stare Down, sports talk and real estate, with Sean Carpenter of Coldwell Banker in Columbus, Ohio, Bill Risser of Fidelity National Title in Tampa, Florida, and Todd Meininger of Cummins, Georgia. Listen in as they discuss the week in sports and toss in a pinch of real estate too. Now your hosts, Sean, Todd and Bill.
Hey, greetings everybody and welcome back to the holiday edition of The Stare Down. In fact, we are recording this the day after Christmas because Bill and Todd and I were so engaged with our holidays with our families, we decided to push pause on The Stare Down and pick it up tonight. So welcome back to The Stare Down. I'm Sean Carpenter in Columbus, Ohio. My good buddy Bill Risser down in St. Petersburg, Florida, and Todd Meininger in Cumming, Georgia. Bill, happy holidays, buddy. Did you have a Merry Christmas?
We did. Yeah, our first Christmas solo without Kevin since we've had him. So he's with his girlfriend and her family in Phoenix. So Cindy and I took that opportunity to have a nice dinner Christmas Eve. And then at about 11:30 Christmas Day, we decided, let's go to Disneyland or Disney World. We'd never been. And we used to do it all the time when we lived in San Diego on a spur, kind of a spur of the moment thing. So we headed up, packed up, and we were at Disneyland by 1:30. I think 2 o'clock at the latest. And what an experience, quite different from the original Magic Kingdom. Really enjoyed it. We had a great time. It was super packed and busy. We only made two rides, but we got to really explore the area. We took one of the boats over to a resort and had dinner off, you know, out of the park, and then took the, you know, monorail, you know, back over to the park. So really got our lay of the land. I'll tell you, when you grew up going to Disneyland, I can navigate Disneyland with my eyes closed because you know exactly how to get from Frontierland to Tomorrowland and around over to Adventureland. Everything was easy. And it's almost kind of laid out like that, but not quite. Where I thought there would be a passage, there wasn't. So
that was your first time to the Florida property.
Correct. Our first time. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was great.
Okay.
It was a great Christmas for us. How about you, Good. Tom?
Hey, happy holidays, boys. Had a great Christmas. Had the kids for Christmas Eve and half of Christmas. Spent time with Jenny and her family last night. Dinner was early, happy hour was early. And when we decided to postpone the stare down, I was happily going to bed early watching some football. So good time had by all by far. And just a fun time of year. You boys will probably agree with me. Just a fun time of year. Got some time off, slow down before the first of the year. So looking forward to catching up and talking to you guys tonight.
You know, I'm not sure if you guys happened to see my blog yesterday that came out on Christmas Day, my Monday morning match, but I talked about, you know, there's a big difference in Christmas when your kids believe in Santa and get up early and, you know, you got to think about which presents are in the right wrapping paper. And then it's a totally different game when your kids are old, like ours are now. And it just, you know, the pace is a little slower. You don't have to wake up the crack of dawn. You're not in a hurry to get through the gifts. We're all at that sort of stage where it's, was very nice and relaxing and there's no hurry. Kind of do what you want. Bill, like you said, you up and drove 75 minutes over to Disney World. That's kind of neat to be able to do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I miss the wonderment of the, you know, 3- and 4- and 5-year-old Kevin for sure. And hopefully one day there'll be other opportunities to do that. But you're right. It's a different, just a different great time of the year. How's that?
That's awesome. Yeah. So, guys, Santa brought us some pretty decent action this weekend in the NFL. You know, not everything is decided yet. There's still a spot in each conference, and really some positioning is still to be figured out. Let's just kind of recap the week. Saturday's games were kind of uneventful. Baltimore and Indianapolis was pretty much unwatchable. Just two, I think, I'll say not good teams, even though Baltimore has an outside chance to make the playoffs. And then Minnesota, Green Bay, interesting kind of conversation. Have you guys seen kind of the story about Green Bay not playing Aaron Rodgers and putting him back on IR? And some of the teams are saying that he should be on the waiver wire and available to everybody. Did you see that, Todd?
I did see it. I didn't dig too deep in the story, but my first reaction is they brought him back while they were still making a playoff run. And by the time the playoff run was over, you know, you shut it down for the season. It happens all the time in other sports. So again, without digging too deep, I thought it was a little bit of a reach by the other teams. I don't know if you feel the same way, Sean.
Well, clearly the NFL is not going to just allow him to, you know, is there a technicality? Yes, I believe the way it works is you can't put someone back on IR without proper announcement. Is the way it was kind of worded. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but like I said, I the chance of him all of a sudden being a free agent is nil.
Right.
Yeah.
And the answer is McCarthy could have just benched him, right? If that keep him on regular, not on IR, and hey, we're not starting you.
Yeah, but I think as a Green Bay fan, as much as you'd love to see a win or a competitive team, just there's no sense in taking your franchise quarterback and when there's clearly not much opportunity. Let's go to Sunday's games. Browns needed a big win on Christmas Eve to keep Hugh Jackson's streak alive of his only two wins have ever happened on Christmas Eve. They lost to the Bears and just a miserable showing. They had penalties, they had turnovers, just a bad team that is going to finish 0-16. Only the second team ever in the NFL besides the Detroit Lions to finish 0-16.
Bucks were 0-14, weren't they?
Bucks were 0-14.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. They're a bad team. But I guess if there's any hope for Browns fans, Detroit, that was what, just 8 or 9 years ago. And they're regularly contending now for the playoffs.
It's so. Hope? You mean hope is 8 or 9 years I got to wait?
Well, they've been waiting 40-some years, Bill, so another 8 I don't think
wow. makes it.
In the last 51 games, they're 4-47, and they still have 8 or 9 years to wait, right? Sean, you mentioned it. To me, the weekend shocker was Detroit. Gosh, they were playing an averages grits Cincinnati team, win and you stay alive, and boy, they lost 26-17. That was a shocker for me. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I thought that was a big one. I thought Tennessee playing at home, a chance to win out, knowing that if they could get past the L.A. Rams, they bring the Jaguars into their own stadium there, Nissan Field or whatever it's called there in Nashville. They could have flipped with the Jaguars and taken the division. They lose a tough one, and the Rams, that clinches the West for the Rams. Wow. So quite the turnaround. I don't know if you saw Jeff Fisher kind of took a little credit for leaving the Rams in a good spot.
Good for him, right?
Yep. Hey, put it on your resume.
I like it.
Kansas City took care of Miami. Buffalo, New England. Let's talk about that one because another interesting call goes, I guess, for the Patriots. A lot of conspiracy theorists and a lot of Patriots haters across the country are up in arms once again thinking that they get all the calls from the NFL, forgetting that their quarterback was suspended for four games because of a deflation of balls that hasn't been proven. Did you guys see that play that was in question?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Todd, did you?
Shamefully, yeah. I did not, and I'm a Buffalo fan, so I'm sorry to say I never saw
Yeah, it was Kelvin Benjamin caught an amazing pass, kind of a back shoulder, back corner of the end zone with a couple seconds left in the half. Caught the ball as he was spinning, took kind of a shield away the defender, 1 foot down, left foot in my eyes, clearly dragged across the top. You kind of see the black particles spitting up. Ref on the field calls touchdown. Ref on the back line calls touchdown. It goes to replay as all plays are reviewed, all scoring plays are reviewed. And it was determined to be no catch.
Wow.
They say he didn't get his foot down. That was interesting because it didn't, Romo and Nance all thought it was a touchdown. Every angle you saw, it looked like his foot touched the ground. Yet for some reason, they felt there was a strong enough,
conclusive
evidence that he did not touch the ground. So it was a very interesting, interesting call. It kept it a close game. And then the Patriots went on to kind of roll in the fourth quarter.
I didn't see it, and I'm getting angry just hearing you describe it, Sean.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Does anything – I'll throw it to both of you. Does anything frustrate you more in sports by instant replay in football and how often – not necessarily they get it right or wrong, but they'll say something stands when, to me, it obviously should be confirmed. They'll – like this, as you say, if those are actually ground up tires, they're, you know, in Forsyth County, they have a lot of artificial turf fields. If black particles are flying in the air, they don't fly by themselves, right?
Right.
So to me, that indicates a foot is dragging. Again, I didn't see it. I get really frustrated with replay.
Yeah, and it's hard to, you know, the announcers, you know, they're a fan at some small point of the thing. They're like, oh, that's a catch. That's a catch. And then they come back and they say, after further review, incomplete. And they're like, well, I thought it was, I don't know what I was looking at then, because I was looking at the same thing they were looking at. Right, Bill?
Right. Yeah. I think, well, I like the fact that announcers do that they actually, make a call. Yeah, they make a call. They kind of put themselves out there and say this, you know, but then the many of them will say, but we'll have to wait and see, because every single announcer out there has had what you just described happen to them. They were convinced it was going one way and it went the other. I saw another play, and I really can't remember the game, but the announcer was great, whoever it was, because he was talking about a butt cheek and the touching of the butt cheek as if the receiver's falling backwards, going out of bounds, right?
Yeah.
Because it really didn't look like he didn't get his second foot down. He only got one foot down, but as he's coming down,
right?
It just barely hit. And just part of the butt cheek hit first. The rest of it might have hit out of bounds, but they're saying because that part hit first, it's a touchdown. And I'm like, wow, we've really come to a new place with, you know, that stuff.
I think that was in the Saints game, right?
I think you're right.
The Saints, yeah. Because I remember the black jersey.
Yeah.
It was interesting, but I don't know. I mean, it just, you know, it seems to me like there's some things they could do with technology. It wouldn't put me past. I wouldn't think it'd be long before, at least on the goal lines and the sidelines, there is a chip in the ball.
Yeah.
And you, there's like an infrared beam, almost like our garage door openers. I mean, our garage door openers can tell when there's someone in the way.
Look, you know, you've got the eye in the sky in tennis, right? They can tell the ball hit the line or didn't hit the line. You can't do that in football. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. I do like when they zoom in and they show the black line and
you know, everyone's and clapping and they're all waiting.
It goes 3D and then it shows. Yeah. Kind of cool.
It reminds me, I don't know about you guys, I'm a big Tony Dungy fan. His book, is it Quiet Strength? I don't know. Check it out. It's his autobiography. It's fantastic. But the first year there is replay, I remember, to me, it was such an obvious call, and they ruled against the Colts. And I remember him taking his headphones off and saying, you know, mouthing, what did you see? And it just goes to show, even though it's replay, it's still – human beings decided whether it's in live speed or slow motion, there's still judgment. Listen, I'm sure you agree it works most of the time, but boy, when it doesn't, it just seems to stick out like a sore thumb to me. So, yeah.
And you know, much like the playoff rule, right? When it happens in the Super Bowl, you know, last year people were aghast that the Patriots, were the only ones to touch the ball, didn't change anything, or did it? They didn't change it for this year, right? The rule didn't change. They talked about it, but the rule didn't change.
I don't remember much of the Super Bowl last year, Sean.
Still too soon, Bill. Let's talk about one of the NFCs.
We're going to put that on Todd's tombstone.
Yes.
It's still too soon.
That's right. Bitter party of one. Bitter party of one.
Just don't die on March 28th, because then we could put 28-3 on the on the date. Oh, man.
I'm tipping my hat to you, sir. I'm tipping
my hat. Very good.
Todd, let's talk about a game that involved your team. The Falcons lose to their division rival, the Saints, but they still control their own destiny as far as being the third of the four teams in the South to make the playoffs. They win on Sunday, and they're in over the Seahawks. The Seahawks lose on Sunday, and the Falcons are in. But obviously, clearly, they want to win. Now, I believe they play the Panthers. Is that right?
Yeah, it was a good news, bad news scenario. They only had to win one out of two. Their last two games, or as you said, if Seattle loses. But it's almost like they played that way. New Orleans came out and pretty much beat them up all over the field. Do you guys see the final play where Carolina won? Literally, Cam bobbled the ball and picked it up. His momentum drove him in the end zone.
That'd be against the Buccaneers, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Bill. Yeah, I was hoping that, he would fumble it. For whatever reason, he's just a hard guy to like, in my opinion. But I digress. Sean, I'm sure the Atlanta Falcons coaches are saying, hey, you know, this is a playoff game this week. Win 3, 4, 5 in a row, whatever it is, you can win the Super Bowl. So,
you know, Bill and Todd, if you look through the history of the Super Bowl since it went to the 16 playoffs – I believe there's quite a few six or five seeds that teams that have played in the wild card weekend that have gone in to at least make the conference championships because you get that momentum going.
Yeah.
Oh, there's something to be said about, I think the Giants, the year they beat the Patriots, right? They won like the last eight games.
Mm-hmm. Ravens, Seahawks, I think were.
Yeah. Another, yeah. There's a bunch. Even go back.
Team that yeah. made the playoffs, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it is just all about momentum. And that's why, you know, you look at a 14-2 Chargers team back in the day, right? Had everything going for them, but it was, the Patriots ended up beating them. And the Patriots didn't have that big a year back in whatever that was. So, yeah. Interesting.
Jacksonville and San Francisco. San Francisco, wow. Kind of with Jimmy Garoppolo, they are now 5-11.
4-0 with Janine Garofalo as quarterback.
Yes, exactly. she's
excellent.
Playing well, but Jacksonville looked flat. They came back and they were down 16-0 with San Francisco kicking an extra point to go up 17-0. They blocked the extra point, run it back for a 2-point conversion. Yep. They're down 16-2. They come back and score two quick touchdowns to take the lead. And then San Francisco, I think, scored 28 in the fourth quarter. A couple late touchdowns. Was a tough one there. Seattle beats Dallas, with Zeke coming back, and it's just not a good game. You're starting to see a little turmoil between Dak and who's the receiver?
Dez
Bryant, never happy, always wants to be throwing the ball more, but when he gets the ball thrown to him, he drops it, or fumbles it. Bill, your Cardinals, won a meaningless game. And then last night, Pittsburgh beats Houston in a boring game.
Yep.
And then Philadelphia hangs on to beat Oakland in what turned out to be a very ugly, sloppy, just a miserable game.
Yeah, they've clinched the number one seed in the NFC, but, man, they do not look like a number one seed right now, right?
No, and Nick Foles, yeah.
Just not the guy, you know.
Well, and we talked, Bill, let's bring the listeners up, right before in the green room, before we went live, you really like the way Minnesota's looking right now. Yeah. Obviously, the Super Bowl is going to be in Minnesota in February in their new stadium. They're playing some good football, and not so much because of Case Keenum and the offense. You really like them because of their defense, don't you?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the Purple People Eaters are back, right? Or whatever they're coming up with a new name. Yeah, they're amazing. So, great defenses have done it over and over. You talk about the Ravens in 2000. You talk about the Seahawks. A great defense really goes a long ways in the playoffs in every sport. I don't care what sport we're talking about.
It's funny. If you think about the last time the Broncos won it, it was their defense with Von Miller. Peyton was pedestrian.
He was a guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So looking ahead, anything that you guys are looking at, Bill, is your fantasy league over?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. It was over for me months or weeks ago, but
oops.
Yeah, no, yeah, we're done. Just imagine there's 2,400 matchsticks in the pot. The guy who finished first got 870 of those matchsticks. So he had a good day. He can light a lot of fires. He was very happy. So it was kind of cool.
That's nice. So next week we have kind of all division games, looking at the schedule. Falcon. Really, what jumps out to you is the Falcons game, obviously, is a key.
Yeah.
And then over in the AFC, I guess it really comes down to that. If Tennessee wins, they're in. Is that the way it looks? Tennessee's in the sixth spot. If they win, are they in? Or could Baltimore drop out as well and Buffalo move up?
Buffalo's still in the hunt. I know that.
They need help. But the Chargers and the Bills need help. So they're – right now, you've got the Ravens, at 9-6. So,
but the Chiefs are in. The Chiefs have locked up at least a plot spot.
In the wild card race, it's Ravens are 9-6, and you got the Titans, Chargers, and Bills at 8-7. So,
yeah.
No one's playing each other in there. The Titans are playing a Jacksonville team that doesn't need to win. They're already secure where they're going to be. They can't get to 1 or 2. And
they for sure have a home. They're either the 3 or the 4 seed, right?
They're 3 or 4, so they don't have to play everybody against the Titans. So that hurts the Chargers and Bills, obviously. Chargers get the Raiders, which you think would be an easy game. I'm trying to think who the Bills are playing.
Bills are playing Miami, which is a big rivalry game.
They play really hard against each other. Yeah. So and the Ravens should handle the Bengals. So I don't think the Ravens will come back. It's possible that you have you know, four teams at 9-7. And I don't know how it shakes out, Sean, to be quite honest, where the Ravens fit into that mix. Oh, I can tell you that part of the, you know, the division race stuff, I don't have that in front of me. So
I got
I do like that they have Atlanta, Carolina. They have a lot of late games.
Yeah.
So there's going to be
obviously no. There's 9 4 o'clock games. When's
there's going to be, well, because it's New Year's Day, it's New Year's Eve,
yeah.
Part of it. But I also think it's going to be neat because, especially with the Carolina Atlanta game being the same time as the Seattle Arizona, there's no, you know, they're going to be watching the scoreboard.
Right.
You know, if Seattle knew going into the game that the Falcons won, then it kind of eliminates any hope in Seattle. Right.
Right.
And then obviously New Orleans at Tampa Bay, tip of our cap to Drew Brees, third quarterback ever to surpass 70,000 passing yards. He's going to have to come back next year if he wants to get the all-time passing record from Peyton Manning. He'll surpass Brett Favre next, but needs about 1,800 yards to catch Manning. So
yeah,
you figure he'll get 300 or 400 this week. I don't believe playoff yardages count towards that. So he'll come back and get that probably 3 or 4 games into next year's season, assuming he'll be back.
That, good read on the timing of the games, because every one of those 1 o'clock games, none of them matter about the team getting in. I mean, you've got the Patriots and Steelers trying to still get home, you know, the one seed, but nothing else matters. All those 4 o'clock games are all playing games for, you know, somebody.
That's cool. John Harbaugh.
Oh, he was mad. Yeah.
Mad because they moved his game from 1 to 4:30.
Right.
And I read that he's like, well, the NFL doesn't care about us. I don't know why he wants to play at 1 versus 4:30. Other than
the crowd would be bigger.
Bigger?
That's what he said. Yep. Because he thinks it's New Year's Eve. No one's going to show up.
Oh, I guess I kind of see that. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. Because they at least could come early and then get home to their home throughout the state of Minnesota or through Maryland. Right. Yeah. Right.
And plus it's pattern. And, you know, when you have a home game in Baltimore, you play at 1, right? You never play at 4.
So I'm sure,
you know, they're all about structures and, you know, so I'm sure you had reason to be mad. But yeah. 4 o'clock's where it's at, huh?
Well, yeah, you know, the games I look at are the spoiler games, right? Denver hosting Kansas City, a very, you know, that AFC West hates each other. You know, it'd be interesting to see if Denver can pull one out. And once again, I only think it changes the would Kansas City drop to a wild card.
No, they've clinched.
They won their division. So they got a home game.
Yep.
Yeah. So it looks like Kansas City right now, if the season ended now, Kansas City is the 4 seed and they would play the Ravens.
Yeah, and I think that doesn't change. So, I think you might see Kansas City rest players. They just don't
You have that interesting thing that could occur, though, is if Tennessee wins, they get the 6th seed and have to go to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So, they have a home-and-home.
Very possible.
Back-to-back. And that, I remember that happened years back with back when it was the Houston Oilers versus the Browns. They played the last week of the season and the first week of the playoffs.
Right.
And they happened again with the Jets and the Browns.
Yeah.
Yeah, so very interesting that they could play back-to-back. So if you had to pick right now, Bill, who's your MVP for the season? Because it's changed with Wentz going down.
Yeah.
It changed with Antonio Brown going down.
Yep. Probably Tom Brady. I mean, he's 40 years old doing what he's doing. And how do you – yeah, I Todd Gurley's having an amazing year. You can't deny that. He's going off. But I think it's Tom terrific. And I'm not, you know, and you know me, that hurts to say that.
Yeah.
I think it's Gurley, but you make a compelling argument, Bill. I'm not going to deny that, but I think it's Gurley.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what happens. You know, do the votes get cast at the end of the season or
playoffs have nothing to do with it usually.
Yeah. I don't think the playoffs matter. So they'll probably have the votes sealed.
It's a regular season honor. It's a regular season honor. Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, so it'll be interesting. DeShone Kizer probably will finish a few votes back, the quarterback of the Browns.
Well, there's some talk about it. Carson Wentz is only going to miss 4 games or 3, whatever he misses. He had an incredible season, you know. And then Brady had a wonderful year missing the first 4. So, we maybe don't discount him. Maybe.
He's still the touchdown leader. He has 33 touchdowns. So
who is Wentz?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, guys, let's hit on hit on the bowl. Let's do a little bowl update.
Let's do a bowl update.
Yeah,
whatever. I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Yeah, let's just talk really about second and third place because that's really where the action is. Sean and Bill are doing good in the not winning bowl. Actually, Todd, you've done a good job. You have only missed three games so far.
Hard to pick winners, boys. It's hard to pick winners.
We all laid an egg on Toledo. That's the only one that we've all been swept on.
That was in my other bowl. That was my 40-point confident. It was Toledo.
Out of 42 or out of 40?
41, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that hurt, so at least.
You probably weren't the only one that dropped big points.
I dropped maybe the most, but a lot of people had a lot of points in that game. That was crazy.
Okay. And it looks like you guys might take a, you know,
Duke's good.
In one of those games, Duke is over.
It might as well be. It's 36-14 with a minute left. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go ahead.
That's a win for Duke.
What
does that do with me and you, Sean?
So that means I've missed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And Bill, you've missed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, I'm only one behind you. I thought you were running away from me.
Oh, you know, at this point in the match, you know, you're that far back. It's that's half a lap back, you know.
True.
Long way to go, boys.
But it could change tonight with Josh Rosen-less UCLA taking the field against Bill Snyder and K-State.
And wow, and who took K-State?
That's you,
Bill.
That's
me. You did.
I believe I did. Yeah, and you both have UCLA, so there's my one hope to get back into the race tonight.
The Josh Rosen led UCLA, but now he's 99% out for tonight. that hurts a little bit, right?
That did hurt, yeah. But yeah. We don't let people repick. You know, you had to, you know, kind of factor that into your choices, boys, yeah. Right?
So there's enough differences in games in the you know what's left.
Yep.
And we're getting to get some of the better games, right? As expected today, West Virginia laid an egg against Utah. Utah coach now 11-1 in bowl games.
Best
Kyle Whittingham,
right?
Yeah, very impressive. But other than that, if you had to look in the next, staying away from the holiday weekend games, guys, which game are you going to try and make sure you watch a little bit of? Are you excited about the Bronx Bowl, Pinstripe Bowl with go ahead, Todd.
So I'm sorry. Let me jump in real quick. This may not be the most exciting bowl, but a story's come out. Florida State really wasn't bowl eligible.
Yes. How about that?
First of all, how does that happen? And oh, by the way, they're 15-point favorites. And they really weren't bowl eligible. So part of me is like, all right, even if they screwed up, they're really, really darn good. Virginia Tech, Okie State is going to be a great game, right? Stanford, TCU. We're starting to get some ranked teams playing each other. Washington State, Michigan State.
Yeah, the Holiday Bowl.
I think tomorrow's Texas Bowl with Texas and Missouri could be exciting.
Yeah, Missouri's.
Missouri coming in off a hot streak, but once again, you've sat them down now for 3.5 weeks. Do they keep that up? Does Texas and Tom Herman, do they sort of, you know, set, you know, this is a precedent setter for next year? You know, bowl games are always kind of that precedent setter.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
A lot of practice time. Right?
Todd, let's go back to you on the numbers. How about that? Army decides to go for the 2-point conversion. They take the lead over to San Diego State, and then with one play left, San Diego State tries the multiple laterals. They throw it backwards and actually gets pick sixed. Yep. Not really, but pick six is more of a scoop and score, I guess, technically. Army runs it in for 6 points as the clock expires to win by 7. They were 6.5-point favorites.
Bad beat of the bowl.
Oh, my God. Was that that was one of those ones that in Vegas, you see half the sports book going like, no, fall
and
down.
And the other half, cash
and ticket. Popping champagne, right? That in itself, the two rules. It's never over until it's over, Yogi Berra. And two, why you really should only bet amount of money you can lose. Because can you imagine watching that and just being heartbroken? What's weird, Sean, is I was watching my son. He'd want to go to the academies if he had his choice, right? So when they were down by 7, I predicted, I said, hey, they're going to score and they're going to go for two and end up working that way. So that was pretty cool.
I was pretty happy for the Army kids. You know, that was an amazing comeback. It was an amazing game. It really was. And that Penny, another 200-yard game, Bill.
How is he not at the even at the Heisman?
Right?
Well, like, the same thing happened to Marshall Falk, right? I mean,
sure.
Marshall small had, school, had yeah. a ton of well, he had 300-yard games and multiple 200-yard games that season. And was never – it was Gino Toretta, you know. Yeah. Is he in the Hall of Fame? Is he in the Football Hall of Fame yet?
Okay. When he pays the $28 admission, he gets in.
Yeah, he'll get there. Yeah. He can see Marshall's. Okay, bust. That's awesome.
That's funny.
Screw the Heisman. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So Bill, how about you? What game are you looking ahead to this week? Any that jump out?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's the Holiday Bowl is always one that is a big deal for me. That just because I grew up there. Also, you know, the Sun Devils will be interesting to watch. I know they're going to play a really tough NC State game. So, So that'll be fun. So those are probably the two. And you know, my good friend of mine, son's playing now. He's actually going to be playing in that game for ASU on the offensive line. That's going to be fun. Cade Cody, he'll be nice. Playing at guard. So. That's going to be exciting too. So those are for me. Those are probably the big ones for me that's coming up this week. But obviously, just waiting for the waiting for what's going to happen after next weekend. That's going to be fun.
Hey yeah. Sean, you agree that the Bulls have? I mean, I love all Bulls, but they've been kind of lopsided, a little bit of a dud. I think what's the slate coming up? It's starting with tonight's game. I think it's going to be. The quality and the competition is going to be better. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously the on my radar here locally is the USC Ohio State Cotton Bowl Saturday night. You know, that's going to be a fun one. You know, I don't know if you saw the crawl on ESPN. Ohio State hasn't beat USC since 1974 in the Rose Bowl. They're 0-7 against the Trojans since then. Now they obviously don't play all the time, but Ohio State. That'd be a big win for them to beat Sam Darnold and the Trojans if they can do it.
And is it just me, or did you get really disappointed watching these early games? The attendance is just dismal at most of them, right?
Yeah. Now, Dallas obviously had really bad weather, but there was about 4,000 people in that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where at some point in time you just can't continue to have these bowl games. I mean, they're paying for the travel, they're paying for the – you know, the teams are paying for the swag bags and sponsors are just going to stop, you know.
Well, as long as ESPN keeps footing the bill on, you know, with college football, they probably have a way to make it work. But you're right. These early games, I mean, you will see them start filling up progressively right this week, right? We'll see more and more. The stadiums will start getting packed. And it just brings a different feel and vibe, you know, that makes the game more fun to even watch on television, right?
Yeah, and let's be honest, there's a big difference between Glendale and Shreveport. So if you're a fan, right?
Or San Diego, yeah.
Doesn't it seem like some of these bowls are like friends and family? You know, come along, friends and family.
It's like a high school game. You go to a high school state championship, there's like 4,000 or 5,000 people there, right?
So. Yeah.
I think it's going to change coming up. I think it's going to get exciting. I really do.
Guys, not much change in the NHL and NBA. Your Lightning, Bill, are continuing to lead the NHL in points, playing really well. My division, where the Blue Jackets, obviously where I pay attention, they are just hovering kind of right around that that lead spot. NBA, they've kind of tried to claim Christmas Day as their day. You had a young upstart 76ers team beat the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, yep. Todd, you're shaking your head. Did that surprise you, or?
Yes, the Knicks were favored by 3. Sean, let's just say that.
Okay, all right. went for some early action.
It wasn't even close. It was. I think they lost by like 8 or 9. It's funny. So.
In the marquee game, the Cavs shot horribly. Still were in it at the end of the game. The Warriors pull away and win by. I think 6, but a kind of a controversial no call on Kevin Durant playing defense against LeBron has got either LeBron fans or Durant haters up in arms about that. As I said to you guys before we went on the air, it really is a meaningless game. It's not going to affect seeding. It's not going to affect anything moving forward. So I just think it's something to
yeah.
To squawk about, right?
And that whole, you know, LeBron James has created kind of like how Tiger, you know, created what he created in golf. LeBron's something that we really had never seen before him. MJ wasn't built like LeBron.
No.
Right? All the other players before him, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. So LeBron's this beast that he dominates by being physical, right? Going to the hoop. And yet he's so big and strong that officials don't give him the love they gave MJ and Larry Bird and all these other players, where they'd get fouls just if somebody, you know, breathed on him. So I think that gets, you know, LeBron powers through that. But I think Durant went at him pretty hard. I saw that play. And I mean, I guess it's a 50-50 call, but I don't know. Is that saying that LeBron's losing? Well, he's still the greatest player playing today.
Yeah, look, I'd rather the game get decided by the players than calls. There's nothing worse. I mean, go back to last year's national championship game between Gonzaga and North Carolina.
Yeah.
Which was just whistle, 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 whistle. It was truly hard to watch.
Yeah.
So in a game that doesn't matter, you know, we'll see. There was already four stoppages of play to determine out of bounds, you know, in the last few seconds of the game. So,
well, Sean, and as the casual basketball fan, I mean, playoffs are a different story, and NHL, NBA, I mean, but LeBron, from what I am reading, is playing the best basketball maybe of his career, which is incredible because I guess he skipped college and his high school games were being played on ESPN.
So right.
Think about how long he's been in the limelight and the spotlight.
Yeah.
So he even seems maybe older than he is, but everything I'm reading, he's at a level that's, you know, you could argue Jordan depending on the era, but gosh, he's the best of this era for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's solid.
Anything
in golf, Bill, or anything in soccer, Todd, you want to hit on?
Sure. Sean, now that you mentioned it, Man City continues to run away, but check out a gentleman named Harry Kane for Tottenham, the Hotspurs.
Yes.
He had his
most goals of the season, right?
Well, his second consecutive hat trick. So in the calendar year of 2017, he surpassed the previous record holder. It's so funny, Sean. Look at Bill. He's just in space. Look at him looking. He could care less.
They're showing Chip Kelly in the press box for the UCLA game. He's up in the press box. So he's got a pass on. He's just going to watch the game from the
– But he in 2017, he scored the most goals ever in Premier League. And in the calendar year, league play, national play, he has the most goals ever. So having a historical year, Harry Kane, check him out for Tottenham, the Hotspurs.
Golf kicks in at the – we have one more week to go, and then the
Sony Open leading it off?
Well, it's not the Sony. It's the – they call it different. It used to be called the Mercedes out in Kapalua, the kind of the tour – all the tour winners play there. And that's always a fun tournament because, you know, everybody makes the cut, but it's that amazing course, the Plantation course at Kapalua, where, you know, I've played it. It's amazing. The elevation is just incredible.
Time will that start here?
I believe it comes on the air at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and then goes till it's nice. It's nice. One story before we get to our week ahead, Bill, we lost a big one in Dick Enberg this week. I know you as a tennis fan, you as a San Diego kid, you know, he finished his career calling games for the Padres up until I think last year, maybe he retired.
Yeah.
Died at the age of 82. His resume is pretty solid as a sports. If you're just a fan, what he got to sit front row at, from Magic Johnson and Larry Bird's 1979 NCAA championship, still the most watched college sporting event, basketball game of all time. Wimbledon's, French Opens, Super Bowls, NCAA championships, Rose Olympics. Bowls, Olympics. Mm-hmm. Just both your guys' thoughts on Dick Enberg.
Well, I've met him a couple times, right? So when he needed tickets for Padre stuff, he would come by the ticket office, and we would take care of Mr. Enberg. And this is prior to him working for the Padres because he lived in Coronado, right? So he had a home over there, liked being in, you know, the San Diego area. So it was natural for him as he kind of retired from the hard travel life of a broadcaster that he would do home games for the Padres, which was just awesome. And that was after I left, but super nice guy. I remember got him some tickets for the 92 All-Star game as well. So you hear everybody talking about him. He's as nice as anyone could be. Just a real gentleman. And that's, you know, that was a bummer.
Yeah,
that's all I can say. That was a bummer.
The response of the fans, right? They showed that clip, that great clip where I believe it's Andy Roddick has won the Wimbledon. And he says, what do you have to say? And he goes, well, I just got an OMI from Dick Enberg. So that's like how he started the interview, which is kind of cool. Todd, what are your thoughts on memories of Dick Enberg?
Wow, Sean, you hit it on the head as you always do. He was 82, apparently it was a sudden death. So you're not surprised, but you're always slightly shocked and saddened when these things happen. It's even better than what his resume. His first job, if I'm remembering correctly, was he was the voice of UCLA basketball during the 11-year run where they won 9 national championships. So I may have my numbers slightly skewed, but you get the gist of it. God, just growing up, him, guys like him, Kurt Gowdy, Bill, please forgive me. I can't remember the LA Dodgers.
Vin Scully.
Vin Scully. Guys like that. It's like comfort food for us growing up.
Chick Hearn. I mean, Chick Hearn, right, with the Lakers. And, you know, he was the same thing. You know, these guys, and there's a whole bunch of them.
Johnny Most with the Celtics here locally. Munson, Larry Munson. So, Sean, it's comfort food, but – going back to our ties, Sean, what's Mick Hubert's famous call line?
Oh, now? My.
Yeah. Is a line. That's got to be in some way homage to Dick Enberg, whether he meant to or not. Every time you hear the "Oh, my," now you can think that was Dick Enberg's kind of call during a big play, right?
Yeah. And he was judicious with its use. He didn't just throw it out there for anything. He was, it had to be worthy of the "Oh, my." So
there's probably three guys that are alive right now that I think are that next pantheon: Keith Jackson, Brent Musburger, and the recently retired Vern Lundquist. Those are the three guys that kind of come to mind as voices of generations, you know, that you Musburger for sure.
Put Scully in there.
Scully just died. And that's why I'm, you know,
yeah.
Oh, you're retired, right?
No, retired.
Oh, retired, retired. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Retired. Yeah. So I'm sorry. I apologize to Scully and his family. The reports of my death are greatly exaggerated, right?
There you go. He could call in and tell us that. And he would, too. He'd finish with, and don't forget to get your Farmer John. Eastern most in quality, Western most in flavor. Thank you.
Come see baby Shamu. Right, Todd? That was at the Gator games all the time.
I say Gators get national attention with national rent-a-car, right?
Yeah, you got it. So,
and all right, speaking of Gators, huh?
Yeah.
I just wanted to let you know I did see my second live Gator. If you follow me at all socially, you know
I did.
Because it's on Instagram, Facebook,
Twitter. It wasn't a small one either. That was a good size. That was probably a 6-footer.
No. We're thinking the guys I was with who are locals called it 8 to 10. It
Ooh, okay.
Big.
That's a big one.
It was awesome. Yeah. And nice. So eventually I'll get over the joy of finding a Gator, but it's still with me right now.
Yeah, until further notice. That's great.
Yeah. Cool.
That's great. So, guys, we got a few days left in the year. Todd, what do you got? Are you off the clock? Or are you just kind of doing some call on some clients? What are you doing this last week of the year?
So, yesterday and today, official days off. I'm officially on the clock the rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That said, it's usually pretty slow, right? People take advantage and take time off. So I will be working maintenance, helping out where I need to be, but more importantly, planning for the new year. So this is one of my favorite weeks of the year, in between Christmas and New Year's. I try to take inventory and count my blessings of the past year and also fuel up and try to gear up to what I'm going to accomplish in 2018. So personally, professionally, it's just a fun week for me. And come next Tuesday, we're going to hit the ground running for 2018. As we're all in sales, it's the slate is wiped clean, good, bad, or indifferent. So
you got it, man.
I'm looking forward to it.
We'll finish strong, and we'll look forward to catching up with you as the games roll on this next week on the tweets and on the texts. So.
Yes, sir. Bill,
how about you, buddy? I know you had Alexander Filiaci on this week's episode. I've not listened yet, but I will listen probably tomorrow.
Yeah, it was really good. Next week, Ryan Bocross will be back on the show to talk about the changes in what he's doing. And this week I'm on vacation. It's been the last few years in my new role with the company. Sean, you know this, very few realtors really gearing up or want to meet with me this week. I know you'll also would say this is the week to meet. This is the week to be, you know, cementing in the things you've been planning the last month or two. But so I'm off this week as I slowly catch a cold from my Disney trip. And, but that's good. I for me, it's a chance to be quite honest, I'm working on a presentation that I'm calling it Sean style. So
nice.
Which is, I always try to be heavily image driven. You know, it's a real big part of it for me, but it's a 2.5 to 2.5 hour class that a couple of associations want me to do down here. And I'm just so tired of going to workshops in the area where these trainers, you know, just talk about unbelievably difficult things for the average realtor to do. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know what I'm talking about, Sean. It's, you know, one guy just went off and off and off about got to have a blog going, then get your Twitter account going, then get this going, then that, then get that going. You have to get all these things going. And I'm like, oh my God, this room, they'd be fortunate to be able to do one of those with any intention and purpose and focus. Mm-hmm. But he's telling me he's got to have them all. And it's because I go to these, when I see the classes pop up at the associations in my territory, I go, I just sit in the back of the room and mm-hmm. take notes on what not to say and how not to, you know, kind of, you know, bring the message, I think, to the working Joe realtor. You know what I'm talking about, right? The person that's doing 12 and wants to do 25. And maybe that's their ultimate goal, just to do 25. Maybe they want to go to 35, whatever. They're not going to be a 500 a month Ben Kinney, or, you know, 500 a year Ben Kinney, or whatever those guys do, right? And that's, you know, look, I'm preaching to the choir, but
no, that's good, man.
What are your thoughts on that? You know,
no, I'd love to see what you end up putting together and kind of what the you know, as Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind. What do you want the people to leave with, and then how do you reverse engineer that backwards so that, you know, even if they don't do it, they at least got something out of the day. You know, it's always the comments I like, saying like, I don't know if I'll do anything, but I enjoyed myself and I feel like I could do it if I just start with one thing, right? But the overload is tough.
Yeah. I mean, the phrase I can't get out of my head is stop spamming social. I just like the way that sounds.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what happens, right? Just as, because everyone keeps talking about this posting and posting and posting of all this stuff. And I'm like, where's the engagement? Where's the listening? Where's the conversations, right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When I wake, the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I usually check Twitter. It's the first, it's just my go-to feed, right? And it's funny how for the first, you know, I'm usually up by 5:30 during a regular work week. So if I'm on there by 8:06, the first hour and a half, it's just auto-populated crap from people's feeds. Mm. There's no real live people talking until usually Todd wakes up and maybe tweets out something he saw last night, or, you know, and you can tell when it's someone posted something versus just a automatic feed with an image or a link
or something tied to their Facebook and LinkedIn account, or whatever.
And as you scroll through, you know, they've got something every hour on the hour posted. Right. Yesterday, a lot of the realtors I follow that subscribe to a certain service, you could tell when it went live because about 45 out of the first 70 posts on Twitter were that same exact post.
Think about it for the person you're trying to connect with on Twitter, the person who really gets Twitter and uses Twitter, you don't think they sniff that out within seconds?
Of course.
Absolutely. But what does that realtor think? Because they were told by somebody, hey, this is what's going to get you business. This is how we're going to do it. And I just can't stand that thought process. I'm like, the word conversations is quickly becoming the most important thing I say to a room full of people.
Yeah. You're using that word kind of the way I use my build relationships.
Exactly.
And I mean that in a good way, Bill. I think the more you can pound conversation and story and authenticity,
engage people, talk to people. If you're not talking to people, I don't care if you're the biggest lead gen, Vulcan 7 auto dialing, calling 300 people a day. Why do you do it? To have a conversation with somebody,
right? To eventually get someone on their end. Yeah. It's people are doing social media the way some people do food days, where they just stop at the grocery store and buy a 7-layer dip and open up the lid. you know, that's not how food days are supposed to be done, right?
No, you're absolutely right.
So. Todd, you're chomping at the bit to jump in here.
Come on, Todd.
Just from outside looking in, it sounds like, or I'm hearing, don't actually just check the box. A lot of people are like, have to engage, check, really, really engage, right?
Yeah.
Less is more sometimes, you know?
I mean, you know, I'll just keep going a little further. This post popped up in Facebook, and I finally realized I'm just being a dummy on Facebook. I did something that put it back in my feed, but it was from a year ago today. I put out the kind of the thank you to everyone who helped me get where I was in Phoenix. Cause I announced in that post, I was headed to Florida.
You were driving about this time last year almost, right?
Almost. We didn't leave till the first. So yeah. we were packing. But I wrote this article, posted it on Phoenix Real Estate Guy, which is Jay Thompson's old blog. Yep. It's now owned by three people in Phoenix, you know, Nick, Shar, and Dean. And I just went through, and in my mind, I thought of everybody who helped me, starting with the people who hired me all the way until the end. And over and over and over, if you look at those people that I was connected with, those connections almost exclusively started socially. They started mm-hmm. on Twitter or Active Rain or Facebook or something like that was where it started. And it didn't start because I was posting crap some company was telling me to post. It came because I retweeted something from Jay Thompson and he reached out to me.
It was organic.
It was a new Shane Hollenbeck, you know, via social media. And we went to a WordCamp and both knew we were there and we went and said hi.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
You know, Bill,
I try and tell this to people, and I don't know if they're just, I don't know, they don't have the patience. I don't know, Sean.
The ego metrics of social does get to you, and as much as you don't want it to, you know, I look at my Twitter followings, and I'm sure. hovering right around 9,800.
But you want to get to 10? That's normal.
I want to get to 10,000. But when I get there, and I will eventually, it's not, mm-hmm. Because I watched the other day, and I went above 9,800, and I went to 9,803.
Yeah.
And then I was at 97.99. So four people but it's funny,
right?
You're watching. Yeah. But here's the thing. I'm not worried about it because I've earned my followers the right way.
Yeah.
I look at some of these people that they follow me and I check out their social feed and they have 29,000 followers and they follow 115,000 and they've tweeted 150 times and it's nothing but retweets. And it's just it's so fake.
Are you looking at the same guy I was looking at this weekend? I'm watching a Sunday morning show and this realtor comes on, they pay for the time. And he's in Tampa. I won't say his name. And I of course, once he starts talking, I start pulling him up. Their website is built a certain way. That's fine. But his social presence is horrible. But I noticed on Twitter, he follows 125 people and he has 29,000 followers. I went and looked I don't know, 49 out of 50 were from the Middle East or from Asia those Twitter followers. He bought them all. He spent a few hundred bucks and got 29,000 followers.
Yeah.
And he thinks that's going to do something for him.
Wow. It's funny. I mean, people say who do you follow? And I say, when someone follows me, I look to see, do I want to follow them back?
Right.
Who are they? What's their profile? Yeah. How many people do they have? Do they tweet a lot? And if they do tweet a lot, if I see 70,000, look, if you looked at me and you say 58,000 tweets,
that's unbelievable.
But if you go through my tweets and look and see that there's so many at replies, I'm tagging people. I'm talking about real stuff.
Yeah.
Granted, if you follow me on a football Saturday, between the three of us, we're talking 100 times. If we were sitting at a bar next to each other, we'd be talking the same amount.
Right.
We're just typing it through our phones. But some of these people, there's no relevancy in their feed, yet they have this metric of a big number, right?
Hey, Sean, I once tweeted that I lead the league in retweets as kind of a joke. But I'm in a different profession than you guys are, but I retweet stuff that resonates to me. I don't just retweet to retweet. But one time I was looking, I was like, God, I retweet a lot and kind of, you know.
Yeah, but you know what's even better, Todd, is if you quote it and say, here's why I like this post.
Yeah. Because
then it gives me your insights. I may not even click on it to read it if it was an article out of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. But if you put some reason why you tweeted it, a lot better chance. Not only will I read it, I'll retweet it because you liked it.
And back in the day, you didn't get that option in Twitter. You had to go outside Twitter to kind of do that stuff.
Exactly.
Now Twitter's put the quote version right in there for you. They made it easy.
Super simple.
And Sean, you and I are promoting Inman, right? Yes. Every time I have thrown a couple of retweets in there, but I try real hard to throw a little quote in as to, you know, the value of this from my point of view to the people that follow me on Twitter.
And it also creates an organic tweet on your side. Retweets don't really count as organic.
Right.
And one thing I will say, I said it to Todd offline. I was kind of anti, but I'm digging the 280 characters. I just think there's more content. I don't find I really run out. I like the way the feed online kind of it goes into yellow when you're 20 characters away.
Yeah.
I think it creates some fun lists. You know, that people can kind of space out
it gives you more feeds. Room to talk about a link too sometimes, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That was a big deal. So yeah.
From my point of view, it's bringing grammar back because you're not number two, right? You're not just butchering the English language because you only have 140 characters or whatever it is. So
yeah. So all right, guys, let's call it a night. We'll talk offline about what we're going to do for our holiday show. Maybe we do an early afternoon on New Year's Eve, get back in a regular rotation, and then we'll probably plan on doing, if not before the championship games, for sure the championship game, we'll do a special episode. But on behalf of Todd in Atlanta and Bill down in St. Pete, I'm Sean Carpenter, Columbus, Ohio. Thanks for listening to The Stare Down.